Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her.
Hello and welcome to Shining Bright. So we are kind of in the thick of like business focus lately. And I do want to mention, if you don't have a business, if you don't have a project, this can also relate to so many things personally. But there's kind of been a focus in my world on working on the business lately. And this is a concept that I can't say that I don't like hang around in entrepreneurial circles. So when I'm going through this class and I hear this concept of, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a small business owner. So for you listening as a farmer, you know, taking the time to work on versus in your business. And when I started this class, I mean, I was in the weeds. My head was in the weeds about it. And I really didn't see how I could take the time to even spend thinking about the financials or what we were going to do next with any sort of like a real thought out process to it, right? Like I thought about these things, but like I just always felt like overwhelmed by everything else. Like I couldn't get my head above water to breathe long enough to actually try to figure out a plan. And realistically, I totally could. I just needed to make the time and to kind of refocus my efforts. So, you know, a little bit about Farm Her from the background. I mean, Farm Her started, I had left my job. I left my stable, steady, wonderful career to go figure out what my passion was and to find something that I could give back to other people and do more in this world with. And so Farm Her started as a photography project. It wasn't a way to make an income. It wasn't anything other than something that I felt passionate about in the beginning. And that was photos showing strong, smart, real, everyday women working on farms, because that was something I had realized wasn't very visible. And I wanted to make sure it became visible to other people. So I set out on this passion and I had this project, and then people started paying attention and I started getting good feedback and it started getting exciting, right? And I started being able to see, okay, like there is something here. How do I take these stories and how do I make that into something sustainable for the long term? Because I hear people telling me they love this, they want this, they want to be a part of it, they want more of it. And I could tell it was going to do something good and I needed to figure out how to sustain that in the long term. So, you know, how to give it legs to stand up on, because I couldn't operate it forever as a project, a passion project. So it became a business. October 17th, 2013, it actually became a real entity. And from there, it was figuring out how to make it work. So we've run up many different things. We've tried so many different things. You know, we have merchandise, we have events, we have TV, we have radio. We share these stories everywhere that we can. We do print and successful farming all over the place, right? And then you start to kind of go, okay, what's working and what's not? And oh, by the way, I never really meant to start a business, nor do I really know what I'm doing. I mean, I got a degree in college, right? I have a master's degree in business, but I've never done this before. And so taking that passion and running at it as much as you can, and then kind of stopping and going, okay, now it's time for me to, and there's a lot of things that I still am in the weeds about. I mean, the heart of this business is telling stories, and it's telling stories of smart, strong, everyday women all around this country. And that's what I love to do. I love to tell those stories. So from that standpoint, I am, and I always will be in the weeds. I want to go take those pictures. I want to hear those women. I want to meet them. I want to understand who they are, what makes them tick. And I want to tell all of you about it. But, you know, as far as how Farm Her is going to continue to grow and to be sustainable and to be able to share those stories is another job that I have realized I need to take very seriously. And so working on the business and having the tools at my fingertips. And I know we're going to talk about this more later. I just know it based on who our guests are, but I can tell you that early on and at periods of time throughout the evolution of Farm Her, I have worked with the Small Business Development Center. So if you're wondering, like, how could I get help? How could I bring more focus to what I'm doing? How can I bring my head up out of the weeds a little bit and get some more vision for where I want to go with this? They are a great resource, and they are in every state, and they're probably within a county or two away from wherever you are, even if you're in a very rural area. It's a taxpayer-funded program. It's free. It's private, confidential, you know, and you have nothing to lose by reaching out and seeing what they offer and seeing if maybe they can give you a little guidance or a little help, because why not, right? Why not? So stick with us. We're going to be talking with a few different guests here coming up about working on your business here on Shining Bright. Hi, I'm Margie. I'm a photographer from Iowa with a passion for sharing the stories of women in agriculture through my project Farm Her. Join me on this journey for Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show, all about women doing great things, women who are making the ordinary extraordinary, following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. And don't forget, you can always catch Shining Bright by Farm Her on the radio, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern on Rural Radio 147 and the SiriusXM app. And welcome back to Farm Her. We are talking today about working on your business versus in it. And I've got a couple really great guests lined up. The first one is on the line, Christina Moffitt. Christina, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So for all of you listeners out there, I think this is Christina's first time on our radio show, actually, but her connection and mine go a ways back. We are both from right here in central Iowa. And I connected with her a number of years ago when I was trying to figure out a path for Farm Her and was working through the Small Business Development Center. So, Christina, I know you have many different roles that you play, but could you tell us a little bit about your role as an entrepreneur?
Sure thing. Well, back in 2009, I worked for an architecture firm, and everybody knows the recession was starting to hit. So I decided to bake cupcakes and take them into the office to make people happy. A little piece of joy in their day. And 6 months later, that launched into a full-time business called Creme Cupcake and Dessert.
So you've been going, what year did Creme open? You gave me a little bit of the time.
Filed for my LLC actually in 2010 of July, so almost 9 years ago, which is insane to think about.
Yeah.
And then we were just kind of a small catering kitchen for a couple of years, kind of testing, proving our concept. And then we launched into a brick and mortar location in August of 2012, which is a bakery with a cocktail lounge in it.
Yeah. It's very cool. The interesting thing to me when I look at you as, you know, like I'm over here like a chicken running around with my head cut off sometimes, I think. And I know you and I have touched base, and I've been like, you've given me many different pieces of advice about how to keep all the things together and focus and move forward. But so you started working in your business. When you first started, it was just you, or did you have help? Or can you kind of give us the evolution of you as it relates to your role in the business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out of my home. I was just a home baker, like a lot of bakeries start. And then, you know, as it grew, it still was just me when I left my full-time job, kind of figuring out if we had a market really for this and what we could handle, not really knowing if I wanted employees. But as the order size kept growing, I quickly hired a full-time employee, which happened to be my mom at the time. So my mom left her career of 23 years to come on and grow the business with me. And really, once we added that first employee, it was just like growth happened very rapidly after that. Because it freed me up to do, I know we'll talk about working on the business versus in the business. But then we hired a couple part-time people, and then quickly within 8 months grew to a bigger kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
now,
Now
we have 14 employees, which is just absolutely insane to think about to me.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And you know, the evolution of you doing the baking and then bringing on your mom to help. And so was it a conscious thought of I am going to move myself into a different role and I'm going to do that because X, Y, or Z? Or did it just kind of happen that way once you brought someone else on?
It was actually a pretty good discussion between me and my mom, because my mom, I mean, she was in her 60s coming on anyway. She really just wanted to see this grow, and kind of her and I talked, and I just kept saying, you know, if we're going to grow, I got to be out there actually telling people what we're doing. If I'm stuck here in the kitchen, there's no way we're ever going to grow. And so her and I kind of came up with, she would be a production manager in the kitchen, helping with orders and things like that, and kind of that assistant to help us grow while I was actually out bringing in the work, you know, for us to do. So her and I did have that conversation very early on.
Yeah. And I think obviously that's an important decision to make, because you can get so embroiled in those day-to-day details. So tell me a little bit about your progression once you did have her. What was your focus in, I'm assuming at that point it became more working on the business. So what are some of the things?
Definitely kind of split from there. So, I mean, once I had somebody that could literally answer the phone, make the product, I actually would finish decorating the product. That was nothing that she ever really wanted to touch. So that was the one part that I literally kept my hands in. But then from there, you know, it was like, okay, well, we don't have orders every day. So if I'm just sitting here making stuff, people don't know we exist. And that's where it became like, okay, I've got to be strategic about this. I've got to get out and talk to wholesale accounts. I need to get out and talk to event planners so they know we're here. We can do weddings. You know, really start to get out to more events to actually bring the business in. And then when we added the other part-time people to really help with the production and delivery process too, again, we were getting to the point where she could only produce so much. I mean, your hands become tied when you only have so many hours in the day to make cupcakes. So adding those other people. But one of the other people we added in too really became kind of our customer service person on the phone, because I think about the phone ringing, your hands are dirty, you know, you got to stop, clean up, answer the phone. So kind of a natural progression of adding people as we realized, oh, okay, like this person can let go of that responsibility and let's create a new position for that. It's really how it kind of evolved.
Yeah. And, you know, as a small business owner myself, I think there's always that slight fear of adding another person, but it sounds like you had a pretty good handle on the business is growing, you know, and the income is there to support those. And every time you bring on an employee, you know, it expands the business in other ways.
Yeah. And I think as an owner, you have to have a grasp on, okay, how much business do I need to come in? How, you know, to be able to hire another person. And once you start to figure that out, hey, this level justifies adding that person in, or even a part-time person. You know, we have quite a few part-time people that work for us too. It really helps you be able to justify, yeah, and seasonal, because we are seasonal as well too. I mean, graduation season just ended for us. It's actually one of our busiest times of the year, but knowing, okay, we need somebody, but we only need seasonal because we know it's going to go back down. We've been around long enough to figure out those cycles, which is hard to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
But will really help you figure out that, okay, no, it's just a seasonal influx, not that we can justify to have a full-time person from here on out, really helps too.
Yeah. Yeah. It is such a tough thing. And I think I wouldn't have known that. I definitely didn't know this, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, when it feels like you're just kind of stabbing in the dark about what the income is going to be and what the business is going to be. But then, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in, you've got some history that you can look at and make those great planning decisions. So I have more questions for you, but we are very close to going to break. So I'm going to save those and everybody can stick around. And we're going to talk to Christina more about how she continues to work on the business and some ideas she has about, you know, arming yourself with the tools that you need to run a small business. Because sometimes it's a passion, right? Like a passion for making cupcakes or a passion for taking pictures, right? That turns into a business, and you have to be able to pivot from a person with a passion to a person that can manage and run and grow a sustainable business as well. So there's challenges that come with that. So we'll keep that discussion going. In the meantime, I want to invite all of you to go to our website, www.farmher.com. That is where you can see everything that is going on with Farm Her. So we've got blogs. We've got all of the episodes of the TV show that are there. You can check out the videos. And while you're there, sign up for the mailing list to stay in the know. And one more thing, we want to hear from you. Call 515-444-5261 and leave us a message. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. And we're going to get you onto our Shining Bright show. So again, 515-444-5261. Leave us your thoughts and we will work those into Shining Bright by Farm Her. Stick with us. We'll be right back here in just a few minutes with Christina Moffitt talking about working on your business. Hi, I'm Margie. I'm a photographer from Iowa with a passion for sharing the stories of women in agriculture through my project Farm Her. Join me on this journey for Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show, all about women doing great things, women who are making the ordinary extraordinary, following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. And don't forget, you can always catch Shining Bright by Farm Her on the radio, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern on Rural Radio 147 and the SiriusXM app. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We have been talking with Christina Moffitt, who is an entrepreneur. She has a business called Creme Cupcake right here in central Iowa, right in Des Moines. And somebody that I look up to from a business standpoint, and I think as we've been discussing, she does a great job working on the business. So Christina, you work full-time outside of your business, correct?
I do.
Yeah.
So I do.
Tell me a little bit about how that works, because some days I can imagine that, some days I can't. So I think it's super interesting.
So a couple of years after having my business up and running, really in that first year, everybody who is in this path realizes how hard it is, you know, to really get a business going. So surrounded by good mentors that kind of helped pull me through with that business during some really honestly difficult times. I mentioned my mother earlier on, and she had a massive stroke very quickly after we got the brick and mortar location up. And I found out I was 3 months pregnant after I opened my brick and mortar location. So having those people really surround me and help me through the process became something that I always wanted to do and pay it forward. So for me, it really became crucial to get a management team in place so that we would survive kind of that first year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you say survive, you mean survive without you driving the boat all of the time, right?
Right. And during, I mean, because of the stroke and being, I was actually insulin dependent pregnancy, I couldn't be there all the time. So it was a very like overnight where I was almost ripped out of my business because I couldn't be there. I had to be there with my mom and her appointments. And getting that management team was just crucial. And having them understand what my role was and very, very clearly what their roles were is why I feel like we've been successful today.
Yeah. And is that something you went in knowing, or did you kind of have to learn it the hard way of, oh man, I need to clarify this better? Because I can tell you, I struggle with that, right? Like, what is my role? What do I do? What does everybody else do? Mm-hmm. And when nobody feels clear about what they do, that just feels confusing.
No, we've definitely learned and clarified.
Yeah.
I would say before, when I got that open, I was acting as a general manager, but also acting as if they weren't capable of doing anything themselves, which was a terrible model to have. And then when I was plucked out of there, you know, well, actually, let me back up. When I found out I was pregnant is when my mom, this is before a stroke, looked at me and said, "You got to put these people in charge. Like, they're probably actually better at things than you are doing them." And she was right. I mean, so we were very clear on, that's when my mom was still the production manager. We had a morning baking manager, and we went to a concept of an events manager, because you can imagine being a shop with cake. We do a lot of events. And then we went to a night manager who would oversee kind of our bar piece of it so that I wasn't there 16 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, when my mom's stroke happened, is when we actually went to a general manager model because the general manager, who was me, couldn't be there.
Right.
So we added in a general manager. And that was really key. And that structure is still in place today.
So growing and knowing it's okay that you have to change from what you were doing and seeing that necessity. And in your case, you know, you got thrown into it, but it sounds like it's turned out for the better. So since then, you've been able to obviously kind of sit above the whole structure and look at it and work on it. And it looks like it's thriving and it's going great. And you hold down a separate outside job. Would you do it all over again the way that it's gone down if you had it to do over again?
I would. So when we put that general manager in place, that was really so that I could take care of my mom, get through this pregnancy and have my son. But as you can imagine, like this general manager that stuck with me through all this chaos in my life, like who am I to step back in and take her job away?
Yeah.
I mean, when she really was my partner in the business, I mean, she came in, even though she's not legally a partner on paper, she is my partner.
Right.
And so her and I had that discussion because somebody approached me and said, hey, can you help me work on my business? And that's really where the spun off to me having a full-time job and the cupcake shop. So my general manager, her and I have an agreement that she stayed in place while I went on to actually teach others and help others do what we as a business survived. And it became kind of our mission that we would always pay it forward in this community. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at today. And that's what I do. So even though I'm not at the shop day in and day out, like my general manager, Holly, we operate like she is the general manager. I only pay myself for the hours I work, mm-hmm. just like any other employee. And now I actually sit and help counsel other people work on their business and get through really those struggles that they're all facing.
Yeah. So, on that note, you know, you counsel others in their businesses. I know when I first, I think when we crossed paths, you were working for the Small Business Development Center. Tell me, I mean, you've got a 30,000 foot viewpoint on this, right? Like you meet small business mm-hmm. owners all the time from all different backgrounds, all different ages, all different ethnicities, you know, all running after some sort of an entrepreneurial dream. From your seat, how important is it to work on your business versus, you know, down in the weeds in your business?
It's the most crucial aspect that I can tell somebody to do, because if you are down in the weeds, you can't see the club that's coming in over you because you're so lost in what's happening. Whereas if you step out and figure out how to make the pieces of your, basically your locomotive move your business forward, you will actually succeed because you know what to do. But when you're just trying to come to the top for air, you're going to go get buried faster than anybody else I know. And I've seen it happen over and over again of people like, and it's hard because they got into the business because they're passionate about this. It's not because they wanted to manage a business.
Right, right.
And that's the really, really hard piece for people. But if they want to be long-term sustainable, they have to switch the mode to, okay, I'm actually working on my business to see this through, just see it down the path to whatever exit strategy you've had in your head of how you'll eventually, will you sell? Will you retire? Will you have an employee take it over as a family business? If you don't know that end game and how you're going to get there because you're so far down in the weeds, you just will not succeed.
Yeah. It's evident to me as well. And I think it is such an important thing. I couldn't agree with you more. So for people out there listening who are going, and I'd like to point out, it doesn't always mean hiring employees, right? Like I think you said this earlier, right. Having a plan, knowing where you want to go and having being able to put the pieces in play to get there, whatever those pieces are, I think is the key, right? And help yourself move forward. So if there's somebody out there who's listening, this is a national show, obviously, but very quickly, are there any resources that you could tell people that are a good place to start when you're trying to, you know, get yourself out of the weeds?
Yeah, hands down. So every state actually has small business development centers. It's actually partially funded by the SBA, and they're in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you. I mean, every state, like Iowa, has 15 offices. So there's not just one office per state. It's a free resource. So I'd reach out to them hands down. They help from everything from, you know, strategic growth to, most importantly, cash flows. I mean, do you understand where your money's coming from? Are you overpaying for things? I mean, that's crucial that if you don't stop and look at that information, but they hands down would be the first one because I know they're available in all 50 states.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's the advice I give to people whenever they ask me too, like, where do I go for help? I'm like, well, you got a big resource that's taxpayer funded right in front of you. Christina, thank you so much for your thoughts today. This has been really great.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thanks for listening to Shining Bright, everybody. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Hi, I'm Margie. I'm a photographer from Iowa with a passion for sharing the stories of women in agriculture through my project Farm Her. Join me on this journey for Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show, all about women doing great things, women who are making the ordinary extraordinary, following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. And don't forget, you can always catch Shining Bright by Farm Her on the radio, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern on Rural Radio 147 and the SiriusXM app. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are talking about working on versus in your business today. And you've all heard plenty from me about my thoughts on that. We just finished up talking to Christina Moffitt. And now we're going to take it all the way to New York State. We're going to visit with Erica Welch. Erica, welcome.
Thank you so much, Margie. It's great to be able to chat with you today.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Erica and I guess are the only ones that really do know, I just recently visited Erica's farm to film for season 4 of Farm Her on RFD TV. And we are going to do an episode all about maple syrup. So there's an intro of what Erica's farm is based around. But Erica, why don't you take it back a little bit and tell everybody kind of, you know, the progression of the farm and what you do.
Sure. Thanks, Margie. Yeah. So we are a maple syrup farm in upstate New York. We not only produce maple syrup, but we also take our finished product, we package it, we make maple candy, we make maple spread, we make maple cotton candy, and we're also a retail store. But something that is really core to us and to the focus of Riverside is being an agritourism destination, being an opportunity for people to come out to experience our farm, to see what it is that we go through in the process of making maple syrup.
Which is completely awesome. I got to be one of those people and I learned a lot. So how many generations has this been around? What did it look like when you came into it? How did you come into it? Those types of things.
Yeah. So I came into it through my husband, Chris. It was something that he and his father did as a family hobby. And when I met him, I was introduced to the fun of making maple syrup. You know, I certainly didn't grow up doing this. In fact, I didn't even grow up eating very much real maple syrup. When I met Chris, he and his dad got me involved in the syrup making process. And they figured out that since I was the new player, I didn't quite know how to responsibly drive the four-wheelers through the snow. So they should be the ones to do that. I could get off, grab the buckets, load them back up. And, you know, I went along with that. You know, it was a lot of fun getting out in the woods in late February and collect the sap, take it down for processing, help with boiling. And, you know, a few months later, I'd go down and ask for a jar of syrup. And the response from my mother-in-law was, you didn't make enough this year, maybe next year.
You're so, like, wait, I carried all those buckets.
I I know. So I played along again next year thinking, okay, maybe there'll be enough syrup. Next year, same thing. Nah, there's not really enough syrup. And Chris and I looked at each other and said, there's 230 acres here. We really should have enough syrup to go around. And that was the beginning of Riverside Maple.
Yeah, I love it. And I know you're going to be humble about this, but everybody who I talk to outside of you really credits your vision and drive for helping build it from what it was then to what it is today. So you guys have progressed and changed the way that you collect the sap, right? I guess that's the right way to say it. You what's the system that you use now?
Yeah, you know, as we've grown from a hobby to a commercial farm, we've evolved how we collect. We've moved from, 50 buckets on trees that we collect every day to several thousand trees that are all linked together through a network of tubing that will deliver the sap down to central collection points. In addition to the tubing system, we do have vacuum, which will help increase the amount of sap production we yield each year.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I was amazed by it. I'm from Iowa, and so my vision of maple syrup was probably those buckets still. I didn't understand. But of course, it has to be a little more efficient, and you have to be able to add more productivity in there for a commercial operation. So tell me a little bit about your progression. You know, when you kind of said, okay, let's take this into from a hobby to a commercial operation, how did you go about learning? What was your progression into kind of figuring out what your role was going to be there?
Yeah, and it really was a joint progression of Chris and I together. Mm-hmm. You know, we certainly would not be here if it wasn't for the work that Chris has done and what he brings to the table in this. But as we started, it was a journey of both of us saying, we need to learn more about the process. And we're so fortunate that this is an industry that is built on mutual respect and sharing information and helping each other. And we were blessed to have the opportunity to learn from other sugar makers in the industry and be gifted the knowledge and the experiences and that they've had, and also, learn from their mistakes. So we spent a lot of time traveling around, meeting other sugar makers, helping where we could in exchange for knowledge and insights that they were willing to share.
Yeah. And that community is such an important thing, not just when you're getting going, right? But I'm guessing it still is today.
Absolutely. I mean, community is the foundation of not only the industry, but of Riverside.
Yep. So Erica, I also know that you and Chris both do not work full time on the farm. And was that a conscious decision going into it? Like, you guys were like, we're going to build it in this way. Can you tell me a little bit about your decision-making as far as that goes?
Yeah, it was a conscious decision on our part to say, as owners, we need to be able to work on our business, not in our business. And we went into it knowing that we would have to structure it in a way where hiring great people needed to be a fundamental part of our business. And that's what was going to allow us to not only continue our day jobs, but also to be able to work on the business.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, that's a concept. I mean, I've been running a business for 6 years now, but that term and that concept is somewhat new to me. And I'm always super impressed and amazed by people who go into it with that perspective. Have you run businesses in the past, or what was it that made you have that decision?
I have not had the experience of running a business. I've fortunate enough to have a husband and business partner who has that insight. Mm-hmm. And I think it was some of that insight and just us knowing that the only real way forward was going to be if we're able to focus on what's next, what's the next step for the business.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a unique thing. You all will be able to see a little bit behind the scenes of Erica and Chris's operation, which is Riverside Maple in upstate New York. That'll air on season 4 of Farm Her on RFD TV. So you got to wait till the fall. That series of shows will start airing September 6th. So you got a little time before you could learn about Maple from Erica. But in the meantime, if you want to hear the stories, see the pictures, read the blogs, all of those good things, you can go to farmher.com, check out the watch tab, click the listen tab to hear any past episodes of this. And while you're there, sign up for the mailing list to stay in the know about what is going on with Farm Her, where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Erica on Shining Bright. Hi, I'm Margie. I'm a photographer from Iowa with a passion for sharing the stories of women in agriculture through my project Farm Her. Join me on this journey for Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show, all about women doing great things, women who are making the ordinary extraordinary, following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. And don't forget, you can always catch Shining Bright by Farm Her on the radio, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern on Rural Radio 147 and the SiriusXM app. And we are back, and we're talking with Erica Welch of Riverside Maple in upstate New York. And I had the pleasure of seeing behind the scenes of Erica and her husband Chris's farm operation. It is a commercial maple operation. And one of the things that really jumped out at me was how they work on versus in their business. So Erica, you and Chris both have full-time jobs outside of the farm. Can you tell me, like, give me a peek inside your day-to-day juggling that full-time job, the farming operation, and kind of how it works for you?
That's a great question. And I do think it truly is day to day, depending on what is going on in whether it's my day job or the farm. I am fortunate to be able to work from home. So a lot of times I am balancing working at the farm, both on farm related business, but also my day job.
Right.
Business.
That is a blessing, right? To be able to have that.
It is.
So you can juggle yep. your time as you see fit, as you need to, a little bit yep. more, a little bit more efficiently. And then you guys have, how many employees do you have? And tell me a little bit about, like, how are they kind of just, they're empowered to work on their own throughout the day? Is that the name of the game there?
Yeah, we have several full-time employees, and we've spent a lot of time hiring amazing people who are very, very talented, giving them the tools and the information and enough guidance that they are empowered to be working there when we're not.
Yeah. And I met a number of them. I have to say, your communications person from the get-go was like, I was like, man, this girl has got it. She keeps everything rolling. And I can see how that would be such an important asset because telling people about your business is such a big thing.
Absolutely. Emily is incredible. And her passion for helping to tell our story is something that I am so fortunate to be able to have her on our side.
Yeah. So let's talk about going forward a little bit. You know, you guys right now work externally. Do you see yourself coming more involved in the farm at some point? Or do you really like the role of where you sit, where you can kind of have an overview of everything that's going on and just drive the boat forward?
I think for both of us, we really value the ability to continue to work on the business versus in the business. And that's always going to be paramount.
And then, so on that note, do you, and I know this is the way you've done it from the beginning, but what do you think that focus, that perspective has brought to the growth of your business? Because you've seen some pretty great growth.
Yes. And it really has been the ability to be looking at the long-term picture, the long-term plan, and saying, what do we see coming? How do we get ready for it? Or, you know, how do we spur that growth?
Yeah, it's such an important thing. I mean, I've been kind of going through a period of learning here, and kind of refocusing on my business, and it's I've gained a lot of perspective in how much value there is to sit in that position versus not. So, okay, well, I appreciate this discussion about working on your business. So if I was going to show up at Riverside Maple, tell me a little bit about the tour that people can see. Like, if I was going to come look behind the scenes and take this tour that you were telling us about, what does that look like?
Yeah, so we are open year round, 6 days a week. We offer tours whenever we're open. Anyone can come in and we'll take you through the entire production facility. We will teach you about how we make syrup from sap to barrel, and you can see the entire production facility, all of the equipment. Depending on the season, you may see us producing syrup. If it's the off season, there's a good chance that if you visit us during the week, you will see us working in our kitchen, whether it's bottling syrup, making candy, making our maple spread, making maple cotton candy.
And you do all of that right there in that barn right there. It was cool to me. We got to experience, I mean, we kind of took the tour ourselves, I guess, but we got to experience other people taking that tour, and it's pretty quick, but you learn a lot of things right there. And then tell me a little bit about the store. Like, how can people experience that product at the end?
Yeah, we've got a wonderful farm store right there on site, but also we are available online. If you follow us at RiversideMaple.com, open all the time, and we ship anywhere in the United States.
And I got the lovely opportunity to go through a maple syrup tasting with you while I was there. And tell me again how many grades of syrup there were. Like, you could have these different types of syrup tastes in the different grades, which was something like when you said you grew up not eating a lot of real maple syrup. I have had real maple syrup in the past, but I can't say that it's something that I focus on. So this was a whole new experience for me. So tell everybody a little tiny bit about the grades and the types of syrup that you produce.
Yeah, there are standard 4 grades of maple syrup, and this is standard across the industry, no matter where in the U.S. or Canada you are. The first one is Golden Delicate. When you taste that, you're going to notice that it's very sweet with just a little hint of maple flavor. I love to suggest using it on vanilla ice cream or a little bit of fig and goat cheese on a crostini.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to go through all of this. This sounds wonderful again.
The next grade is amber. This has a nice tawny amber color. When you taste it, what you're going to notice is maple flavor first, followed by sweetness. This is probably the most familiar taste. A lot of people, when they taste it, say, yes, this is what I think of when I think of maple syrup. I think of it as just it's a great all-around sweetener. Mm-hmm. You know, don't think of maple syrup just as pancakes and waffles. It is something that can be used as a sweetener. In fact, I like to take the amber syrup and make a pineapple salsa with it.
Sounds wonderful. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The next one is Dark Robust, and as the name implies, there is a robust flavor to it. And that robust flavor really stands out. So my favorite is to take the dark. I'll mix it with equal parts balsamic vinegar, olive oil, a little bit of mustard, salt and pepper, and make a salad dressing out of it.
Which I still have on my list of things to do since I got home, and I'm going to do it.
Can't wait for the review.
I'm sure it'll be good.
And then the final one is very dark. This has a really strong maple flavor. My personal favorite is I will slow cook ribs all day on the grill. At the end, pull them off and drizzle them with very dark syrup.
Absolutely wonderful sounding. So if anybody is drooling out there now, Erica, if you could tell them again where they can go to get a tour and how they could get your wonderful maple products.
Yep. So all information about how to visit us, whether you want to come and check out the farm or you're not in the area that you want to check out our products, visit us at www.riversidemaple.com.
And I promise it'll be a fun experience if you do stop by. We all enjoyed it, and myself and the crew, and took home a bunch of sweet stuff and maybe even kind of overloaded ourselves on sugar that day in a good way. So, Erica, thank you so much for your perspective about how you run your business and kind of what your plan is there. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Margie.
Yep. And for all of you listening, stay tuned. We've got a little bit more coming up on Shining Bright. We're going to wrap this episode up talking about working on versus in your business and the great things that will come from that. So stick with us. Hi, this is Margie Geiler-Alanese. Next week on Shining Bright by Farm Her, we're digging into the hard decisions. We're going to look at some of the decisions that we make behind the scenes here at Farm Her and some of the tools we use to make those decisions. And then we're going to be talking to Farm Her Erin Cummings about some of the personal and business decisions she has made and what factors she considers before taking that leap. So join us on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are wrapping it up here, talking about working in versus on your business. And as I talked to you about at the beginning of this show, this is a concept that is somewhat new to me. I mean, you know, it's kind of basic knowledge as far as starting a business, but how many of you out there, like, mentally raise your hand, blink, whatever you need to do to, like, you know, indicate to yourself that you're part of this? How many of you out there started with a passion about something? Maybe you started because you grew up on a family farm and you loved showing cattle as a kid. And, you know, that led into your own herd of cattle. And now you have a business that you have to function around that passion. Or maybe you're part of a generational farm and, you know, it's just kind of the thing that you needed to do. It's the role that you need to play. It's what you had to step into. And so, you know, caring about farming, caring about the land, caring about the animals and sustainability and all that is one thing, but running a business is a whole nother. And especially in an environment that is super challenging, like it is right now in agriculture. And so I think, you know, for me, that perspective of you can't do it all by yourself. I think I always say this about everybody else, about every farm, like nobody does this on their own. There's always somebody there in some way, shape or form that helps you out. Even if it's a seasonal person that comes and helps, or if it's someone that helps you with the books, or somebody that, you know, you hire to do the field work, whatever that looks like, none of it happens completely on our own. And even when it was just me with Farm Her, I had an accountant. I had my husband helping with IT stuff on the backside. You know, I had people, even though like I was the only one that you saw and it looked like I was the only one running after it, there's always other parts and pieces to this. And, you know, as a business owner, I think there's so much value in being able to step back and look at the big picture and take that time to think about how you want it to grow. And do you want it to grow? And if you do, where do you want it to go? And, you know, having those other people there, we heard from Christina Moffitt that once she brought on an employee, business just started booming. And to me, that says two things. She was in the right market and she was going after the right customer, right? Because if all of those conditions are right, you're in the right place at the right time, talking to the right people, and you bring on some help, which takes, it's a little fearful, right? Like you're going to be paying somebody in anticipation. You're taking on some risk because you're anticipating that business is going to grow to support that. And right place, right time, right product, right customer, and having that additional help and that good help. You heard Erica Welch say that, you know, it had to be really good help. And I would agree. It has to be the people who are going to do the job the way that you want the job to be done. And, you know, out there in rural America, there might be challenges to finding the exact right employee at the right time. But I'd encourage everybody to think about different ways to get some of this done. You know, we've got an upcoming episode where we're going to be talking to Lauren Rudersdorf in Wisconsin about outsourcing a piece of her work that took a big piece off of her plate. But that company that she outsourced with is an extension of her. You know, it doesn't always have to look like I'm going to hire an employee to do all of these things. There are specialists out there. There's companies out there that are looking for that type of work. And, you know, it may be worth it to look at some of those options in thinking about how you can kind of bring yourself up out of the weeds and have a bigger perspective and be that person that helps push it forward. So, you know, all those things at play, you know, one of the hardest parts for me about running my own business is, you know, I started this and I created these processes and I created what this is and how it connects with people. But that doesn't mean that I am the best person to push all of those pieces forward going forward as it grows. And it can feel like in my heart, like I know what needs to happen. And it's really hard to put your trust and, you know, into somebody else to make that happen, to see your vision through. And, you know, having vision matters in that. And it's something that I have to work on every day. And I am a work in progress, you guys. Like this is not the end of the road for me being amazing at this. This is an ongoing thing that is tough. And I have learned that it's not just tough for me. It's tough for many business owners out there. You know, we can do all of the things, but we can't do them all well. And for your business to kind of lift up, it requires you to lift up out of those weeds too. So take those lessons you heard from Christina Moffitt, who has a very different business than probably many of you listening, and from Erica Welch with the Maple Farm in New York, and think about how those could apply to you and maybe how you could think about some things differently in your own business. And on that note, check out farmher.com to hear the stories, see where we're going to be. We'd love to hear more from you. So, thanks for joining us here on Shining Bright.
You've been listening to Shining Bright by FarmHer. Be sure to listen Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright.